The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
There's a saying in our business that sometimes it just becomes a one-topic day, and that's what today is right here on the Southern Beat. As we're coming to you with another episode, unfortunately couldn't get it to you on the usual Thursday, so we're going to have to go with the Friday launch of the show, but hopefully everybody is enjoying their weekend as you're listening to this on a Friday. You're heading into it. If you're listening to it over the weekend, well, welcome to the weekend, and hopefully it's going awesome. But the news coming down, and in true Arch Manning fashion of him deciding he's going to Texas, and I'm just going to release a simple tweet, and that's what he did, of a picture of him, hashtag Hook'em, committing to University of Texas. So it's something that I don't think a lot of people saw coming, but still, it was a decision made by him as he posted it, during our show on the Chuck Oliver Show on Thursday, and the responses, almost 5,000 responses, 37,000 retweets, and 213,000 likes. So that shows you that a lot of people were pretty down with what Arch Manning decided to do. But we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Georgia really thought they had him, and I had a chance on the local side on 6A, the Fan in Atlanta, to catch up with Roddy Nabulsi of UGASports.com on Thursday night, and I'm going to let you hear that. Also, too, not too long ago, I had a chance to catch up with my good buddy Bob Ballou from CBS Austin News, sports director there. He has been covering University of Texas for some time, so he gives us the Texas perspective of what made this happen for Steve Sarkisian and his coaching staff to get Arch Manning there. But of course, with us, you know, we're not talking about a team that is not yet in the SEC. Let's talk about a team that is in the SEC, and that is Georgia. And it was one of the things that people, you know, starting to ask questions last night. How did Georgia not get them? I mean, you're going to hear from Roddy Nabulsi here in just a few minutes that Georgia really thought that they had them, and Georgia really felt good about what they were able to bring to their program, and they were unable to get him to come to Athens. But at the same time, though, too, you're going to hear from Roddy, and I don't want to give it away. Nothing's necessarily over yet, at least for one side. So I'll let him explain that. I don't want to give that away. But what it says about Georgia is that you could make a top-tier quarterback work, and I think that that's what Arch Manning was saying in terms of kicking the tires on the Dogs and, you know, really liking Athens and everything of the such, is saying, yeah, hey, you showed with Stetson Bennett last year that you can make things work. But at the same time, though, too, I do want to be a top-tier quarterback, and I do want to be a guy that makes things happen on the field. You haven't necessarily had that guy in some time. You probably have to go back to the top-tier quarterback being Matthew Stafford for the last one that Georgia has had, that you look at and say that they were somebody that could really make plays and could really take a program forward. But he just said, yeah, I don't want to be the guinea pig. Someone has to be Joe Burrow, and someone has to be Tua Tagovailoa. Someone has to be Deshaun Watson or even Trevor Lawrence, like they were at Clemson. I think that Arch Manning looked at at Georgia and said, yeah, that's not for me. I'm going to choose a school, at least with a coach that has a proven track record with quarterbacks, because you can't deny Steve Sarkisian's resume. Worked with Matt Leinart, worked in the NFL with Matt Ryan, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, and he even got Quinn Ewers to say yes to this offense. And, you know, it's one of those things, too, that Texas was able to, really do some good things offensively in 2021. It didn't materialize to a ton of huge wins for them because their season really fell off a cliff after that loss to Oklahoma. But now it's selling the future, and it's also, too, telling guys like Arch Manning and Austin, hey, this thing is turning around. This thing ain't going to be the way it's been since 2010. We're going to get back to the way things were in 2004 through 2009, and we're going to get back there sooner rather than later. And Arch Manning bought into it. And, you know, I think that what it's going to mean for Georgia is it's now a proving ground for Kirby Smart, Todd Monken, and that coaching staff, especially offensively, is that you've been able to get quarterbacks to say yes to you. But now you've got to be able to get quarterbacks to say yes to you and make them believe I'm going to get an opportunity. Because let's be honest here, like it or not, the track record for Kirby Smart is not great with top-tier quarterbacks. Let's look at the way things broke down with Jacob Eason. Now, I get it. You had a freshman quarterback in Jake Fromm who came in and was able to lead this team within a few plays of winning a national title and winning an SEC championship that season. That's pretty hard to replace. And Jacob Eason, it just didn't work out. Sometimes that happens. But I think now that that Kirby Smart would look at the way that Justin Fields was handled in 2018, and I almost can guarantee you in 2022 that Kirby Smart would not handle that quarterback situation the exact same way. Let me take you back in that season to the 2018 matchup at LSU, where Georgia, that very first series of the game, marched it down the field and tried to settle for a field goal, and then had a fake field goal that did not work out. LSU captured momentum, took that game. But in that game, they put Justin Fields in on, I believe, the first drive of the second half, and he led them right down the field. The offense was humming like it had not hummed in that game. It was pretty stagnant, pretty much, for the entire day. And then after that, you really did not see much of Justin Fields after that, and I think he probably looked at it and said, yeah, the way that this offense is right now, I don't want to be a part of this. And I think that also, too, it was part of in that 2019 season where Kirby Smart said, you know what, I'm not going to part ways with Jim Chaney. Maybe I will just go a different direction. And for the 2019 season, they went with James Coley. And then after that, you brought in Todd Monken, and he was able to have pretty good results in 2020, really good results in 2021. The jury is still out on what it's going to be in 2022. And that's something that's going to be a real huge point for this Georgia team in 22, because the defense still will be good. You still have really talented players on that side of the ball for the Dogs, but you also have lost a lot of really good talent. So naturally, you would think that that side of the football is going to take a step back. How large it is, I don't know, but that translates to the offense is going to need to be a much larger part of the pie this season for Georgia in order to be able to get to Los Angeles and have a chance to defend their national title. So the problem is not necessarily getting quarterbacks to commit. The problem is getting them to work and flourish at your school. I don't doubt that Kirby can do it. As a matter of fact, I know that he can do it. He proved it with the lines, offensive and defensive linemen. At one time, Georgia was losing out on top-tier offensive and defensive linemen. Years ago, Derek Brown leaving Lanier High School there in Gwinnett County and deciding, yeah, Auburn is the right place for me. You've had countless others who have left the state, but all of a sudden, Kirby Smart with Sam Pittman, now with Stacey Searles, I mean, he had a huge help from Matt Luke over the last couple of years. They've been able to get top-tier offensive linemen to say yes. Trey Scott, able to get top-tier defensive linemen to come to Georgia. Now, you have some luck as well and some really good development with a guy like Jordan Davis, who was a three-star, and you look at him now and you say, gosh, how could that guy have been a three-star with the size and the athleticism that he has? And he became a first-round draft pick. So that really is a huge, that's kudos to your program of being able to bring in defensive linemen and make them work. People had said the same thing about tight ends at Georgia. Now all of a sudden they've got the best tight end room in the country with Darnell Washington. You throw Arik Gilbert in there. You throw Brock Bowers and what he was able to do last season. A lot of people really excited about what Oscar Delp can do this season for Georgia. But the proof for them now needs to be at wide receiver, because for the longest time they've lost out on top tier talent at the wide receiver spot. Look at Alabama. Alabama has been able to not only get really good wide receivers out of high school, but also really good wide receivers out of the transfer portal. They just took one out of your program in Jermaine Burton, because Jermaine Burton looked at what Jameson Williams did last season in that Alabama offense and said, yeah, that's what I want. And I said that was really a knock against Georgia's offense and their wide receiver room, that he said, yeah, it's not happening here. It needs to happen over there. And I think that that's something now that Kirby has to be able to try to turn around. And that's why Brian McClendon is here. I have no doubt in my mind that Brian McClendon was hired on at Georgia for this very reason, to come in and be able to raise the profile of that receiver room. And I think if you're able to do that, top tier quarterback prospects will continue to say yes to you. And hopefully soon enough, Kirby Smart can get the top tier quarterback, like I said. You know, I understand that Joe Burrow was a transfer, but a Tua-like quarterback, you know, of even making it work with a guy like Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence. Now, I understand these are individual names. I don't like comparing to individuals in situations like this, but you will get a high four-star, a really good five-star to commit to your program. And soon enough, Kirby Smart's going to need to say, yeah, that's my guy. That's the future of my program. They're going to take us going forward, and they're going to lead us to success. And I think that that's something now that he has to be able to prove. So all of that, I think, feeds into why Arch decided to choose Texas. And now it's going to be interesting to see what Georgia does for their 2023 class. We knew what Alabama was pretty much going to do with Eli Holstein, but now it's going to be for Georgia to move forward and decide, do they need a quarterback in 2023? At least with some people I talked with, there's even thought, yeah, they're not going to go that route. And if nothing else, maybe early 24, they go transfer portal or even sign somebody out of that class. But they feel good about the quarterback room they have right now. But they just lost out on Arch Manning, and that's something that a lot of Georgia fans were not thinking was going to happen. All right, let's get to it right now. First, let's catch up with Bob Ballew of KITV, CBS Austin News. He's the sports director there. He will talk about the Texas side of things and how they made this happen. And then we're going to talk with Roddy Nabulsi of UGASports.com. Let's hear from both of these guys, and we'll come back and join you here in just a couple of minutes. Well, you know, it's not like this guy didn't have enough on his plate already, because he was probably just in Omaha with the Texas Longhorns baseball team. And then this is the time of year after a baseball program gets eliminated that you think to yourself, okay, maybe not too much going on. But then a certain tweet yesterday threw all that out the window. And right now we turn to talk, of course, about Arch Manning going to Texas with the sports director at CBS Austin there in the capital of Texas. He is Bob Ballew. And Bob, people can find you on Twitter at Bob Ballew Sports. I have to say that I think we're kindred spirits in one of the things you have in your tagline here. The left lane is for passing only. Say that out loud for the people in the back, please.
It's my second biggest pet peeve, which is kind of the funny part of it. I can't remember if I have my first in there. Oh, yeah, I do. So my first one is don't say a score backwards.
Yeah,
so
I'm like, right there with you.
If Texas wins the game 24-21, don't say Texas won 21-24.
Oh, terrible.
I can't stand it. Mm. But the left lane, you got to move over. It's if you're going 85 and a 65 and somebody comes up behind you going 90, you got to move over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the rules. Yeah. I don't make them. It's just
no.
The way it goes.
That's it. I mean, Shooter McGavin said it. We just follow it. You know, those are the rules. I didn't make them. So you're 100% correct in that assertion, sir. Let's talk about a certain quarterback from New Orleans who is a Manning and yesterday decided to go. A buddy of mine pointed this out to me, and this is something that I'm sure you can probably remember too. Very Kawhi Leonard-esque, where remember Kawhi, when he was on Twitter, he didn't tweet anything. And then it was, oh yeah, hey, by the way, I'm going here to play basketball. I mean, Arch Manning kind of going that same direction.
Are you talking about high school student?
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's his entire Twitter profile name. It just says, it's Arch Manning, and then underneath it says, high school student. I love that. Listen, this has been the whole process, right? I mean, as much as people, the guys that really dig in on recruiting, they made inroads to try to find out what he's feeling, how it's working, what's going on. The Manning family wanted this to be very private. His Instagram is private. He is not a rub it in your face type kid, which you would expect coming from that family, from that. The lineage of you know, and I know people love to talk about Peyton and Eli, but Cooper's been pretty successful himself. And so it's pretty easy to look at the name Manning and think, what's he going to be? This was very simple, committed to the University of Texas, hashtag hook'em, and that's it. And there's no interview. There's no, big splash. This was just a very simple, this is how it works. The inroads that Steve Sarkisian and his staff made to make this happen started a long time ago. They were very patient with the process, and yesterday they were rewarded for their patience.
And, I mean, he chooses Steve Sarkisian, and I think we can understand why when you give the track record that he has, worked with Matt Leinart, worked with Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, the list goes on and on. I've got to assume, and probably people you've talked with have said, that was a huge deciding factor in this, that Arch looked at what he had done in the college game and said, yeah, I want to be a part of that, right?
Listen, for everything that everybody, the hard time everybody's going to give Texas about going 5-7 last year, one of the things that I would start with when that conversation comes up, certainly it can't happen. I mean, I think everybody understands that. But one of the things that I think it's interesting with Steve Sarkisian is before last year started, before we were in the kind of August leading into the season, somebody asked Sark about, and this is something I've brought up a million times because I think it revealed so much in such a short answer. But somebody asked him about the roster construction, and his response was, this isn't exactly how I would construct a roster. Now, every coach does it differently, so he wasn't knocking Tom Herman. He was just saying, with what we want to do and how we want to go about it, this is not how I would do it. And I thought, to me, that signaled a lot of red flags about what the year might be. Now, this team came out last year offensively and was unbelievable through maybe the first half of the Oklahoma game before Casey Thompson got hurt. This offense was running on all cylinders. They scored 70 at home against Texas Tech. They scored 35 in the first half against Oklahoma. It was very obvious that what some of the things that Steve Sarkisian does work. And Casey Thompson got hurt. Jordan Whittington got hurt. Things kind of went sideways. But you saw what he could do. You saw Xavier Worthy and what he was able to do offensively last year as a freshman. And I think that those kind of things are what Arch looked to. Everybody in this country probably looks at Sark as one of the brightest, if not the brightest, offensive mind in the college game. I think a lot of people, the question a lot of people would have is, can he be a head coach? Because he hasn't won 10 games as a head coach in his time at Washington, USC, and now Texas. And that's the next step he has to take. But for Arch Manning specifically, I think if you look at what Texas did offensively last year, especially in the early goings, you would have a much bigger belief that they can take a bigger step with Quinn Ewers now at quarterback, with Arch Manning coming in at quarterback, and the offensive line class they just brought in, the 7-8 guys that are all highly ranked. There's a really bright future for what they can do, and I think that's the stuff, when you dig down into it, that the Mannings look to.
If you're ever in Austin, turn your TV to CBS Austin News, and you'll find sports director Bob Ballou as he joins us here on the Southern Beat. At Bob Ballou Sports is how you find him there. And, you know, Bob, one of the things that I had heard in the recruitment of Arch is that the family really wanted to go to a stable program, stable head coach, not going to go anywhere anytime soon. And with his official visit this weekend or any of the visits, I've got to believe that he and or Cooper, his dad, probably had a chance to talk with Chris Del Conte, the athletic director, about Steve Sarkisian and the coaching staff. I mean, is this kind of a rubber stamp to say that no matter what happens this year, that Steve Sarkisian is on pretty stable ground?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, look, short of crazy where they go 2-10 or something and it's all falling apart, you have no chance. Yeah, absolutely. I think Sark is building his program his way, and he will get another couple years at least. I know the way this works in the college game now. This is no longer the we've got 4 years to recruit guys and build a program and whatever. I mean, Sark's bringing in 35 new players on this team for now, and we're not even through the summer yet. There may be more for this team next year. That's an unbelievable number. And that's half your roster is turned over. And so it will, the big thing is you want to see the progress. You want to see the steps. But for Texas, I think Chris Del Conte totally, I mean, it's his hire. He trusts Steve Sarkisian. While it's a big year, and I do think they're going to make massive improvements, I do think this team will be much better. The trust is there for what he's building for the future. Absolutely, bar none, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's something as well that I think that probably CDC, Chris Del Conte, for those that don't know, probably wants to have some stability at that position. I mean, you can't just keep changing coaches because that's not something that is part of a successful program. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And I think that's what I think that's what the Mannings know. I think they believe in Steve Sarkisian. This isn't a, you know, I mean, I know you go to a school because you love the school and all that stuff. But Arch Manning isn't coming to Texas just because he loved the campus or he loved the people or whatever. He loves Steve Sarkisian. Their family loves what Steve Sarkisian's building. And that was the most important thing as they made this decision. Because obviously, when he looked at the schools he was looking at, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, some of the others, those coaches are well established. They've won national titles. They've done all those things. He blazed his own path. And obviously this is the way to do it. This is his way to stay. And maybe Texas gets into the SEC a year early and things change there too. You never know, but he'll have that opportunity in 2025 for sure to be able to play in the SEC as well.
Final one for Bob Ballew again, CBS Austin News sports director, joining us here, of course, to talk Arch Manning deciding to choose Texas for his college commitment. And that is what's next for this 2023 class. I mean, it sounds like it's already off to a great start, clearly, with the news yesterday. But how is this coaching staff feeling about the rest of the players that are out there and the prospects that can be coming Texas's way come December?
Yeah, certainly when you get the number one overall prospect in your class, that is going to, you know, Texas, I think, has 8 commits and was ranked 19th in 24/7 composite. So it's not like they, you know, it hasn't come yet. It has, you know, all those, but that was one of the things Sark talked about was we need to be patient. We could go sign a bunch of guys right now or get guys to commit right now if we wanted to, but we got to get the right guy. We got to get the right player for us. And from the indications from some of the other guys that work with this Texas program, there's a good feeling that Jonte Cook, the number one wide receiver, is going to make his decision this weekend. And that decision with Arch's commitment is going to be a very positive one for Texas. Those things obviously change. Everything can change in a moment. But when you sign a guy like Arch Manning, now Arch can go out and recruit as well. And he can go talk to other guys about what they're going to build at Texas together, how they can move forward. And so this class, it's ranked 19th right now. It will be a top 5 class, I believe, by the time it's all said and done because of what Arch can bring. I do think there are a couple interesting points. I think it's interesting that one of the things you hear with a lot of guys when they go to a school is obviously the NIL and what all. And I'm not saying Arch will or won't have that. I don't know that. But it's interesting we're not hearing a lot about that because everyone looks at NIL and says, oh, well, that's why the Aggies got all those guys. That's obviously what happened was they, you know, whatever. Well, maybe it's not for some of them. And I think Arch is a good example of a guy that I don't think this was about NIL. I think this is about the best fit and what he wanted to be and where he wanted to go. And I think that's where you start talking about the 2023 class. I think that's where it's really going to build and how they'll move forward and become, you know, the concern everybody had seen nationally had was, well, Quinn Ewers is immediately going to transfer. From what I've heard, Quinn Ewers was a big part of how Arch Manning got here. He was side by side with him in the recruiting process. I think they believe Quinn can play this year and next year, and there's a belief that they want a redshirt Arch in 2024. Mm-hmm. And then he can make his – no, that'd be – I'm a year back. It'd be 20 – he would can redshirt him in 2023 and let him compete for the job, obviously.
Right.
And let Quinn play for 2 years and turn pro, and then Arch can take over. And so this doesn't happen without the inner workings of all quarterbacks talking about all this, you know, Quinn and Arch and Sark and everybody having a plan for all this. And so the idea that Quinn's just going to transfer is, to me, insane. And it's one that I think that's how you get a program to work. Is you have competition at the quarterback spot, and that's what Texas has now.
Well, as always, Bob, the information is top-notch, and, of course, the public service that we do about left-lane driving, which I feel like I need to get you to come to Atlanta and record a PSA, and we blast it on 75, 85, 285 here because I can't tell you how often this happens to me in the left lane where I'm like, this is not the coasting lane. You got to get out of the way now. No.
I've actually seen more bumper stickers that say it now, which is great because that means the word's getting out about it. I think that's really good.
Our work is still to be done, but at least we have made progress. That is for sure. Bob Ballew, again, CBS Austin News, the sports director there, joining us here on the Southern Beat. Find him on Twitter, at Bob Ballew Sports is how you find him. Bob, as always, sir, appreciate the time. Stay as cool as possible there in Austin. I know it's not easy right now, but until next time, always appreciate the chance to catch up.
We don't love record heat in June, but we're dealing with it. So I may have to make the trip to Atlanta anyway. But, yeah, absolutely. And who knows? Maybe something happens this summer with the move to the SEC, and we're right back on the phone talking about all this stuff again. But I appreciate you having me on. It's always fun, and look forward to doing it again soon.
Sounds like a plan, Bob Ballew.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
To talk a little bit more about it and give us some context, and also too from the Georgia side, because the Dogs really thought that they had a really good shot at getting Arch Manning to Athens. Let's talk with a man who knows that and much more from UGASports.com. He is Roddy Nabolsi. Roddy, always great to catch up with you. I guess let's just start right from the top, and that is, how much of a surprise is this today for those in Athens?
It's very surprising, especially for people inside the program, because they thought they had a very good chance to get him. And a lot of them thought, you know, hey, it's going to be a 50-50 thing. But nobody knew when Arch Manning was going to announce. You know, nobody knew when he was going to make a decision. He did say, I'm going to take my visits first, and then I'll come up with a decision. He had indicated that maybe it would be in the fall if you want to go actually visit some, you know, visit for some games and see how some of these teams play out. So, how does Sarkisian do at Texas? You know, he didn't have a great season last year. What does Georgia's offense look like under Todd Monken? You know, when he actually – if you could actually ever have a quarterback start the second game after starting the first one, and I think four of Kirby's 6 years, you've had to change quarterbacks after the first game. So there's just a lot of there's kind of stuff that was in the air. But last week people were asking, what are your thoughts? You know, he's visited Alabama, he's visited Texas. You know, where's he going? And I said, Arch Manning, according to his left tackle, a guy who's Brett Bordeland, who's very close with him, has not made up his mind. And I will not believe that anybody under the sun knows where the heck this kid's going before he does. And I think it was a situation where he rolled out of bed this morning, decided he wanted to go to Texas, let everybody know, and that's it. And it's, like you said, it's low-key. He has not done a ton of interviews. He has not tweeted out top five list, top three list, you know, thanked everybody for every offer that he got, like a lot of recruits do, which is fine. I mean, to me, if I got an offer, I would shout out to the heavens. But he's just – the Mannings have been through this. They are different than everybody else, not only because of their success, but they're in a situation where they don't need a huge NIL deal. That might be different for some of these other kids, but I was told that if you were to bring up NIL with Arch, he's going to kind of roll his eyes. And yeah, if you want to lose his attention, lose it right there. But so it was a shocker in the timing of it, but not so much the destination, because everybody knew it was down to two schools. So that's it hurts Georgia because they really wanted him. They kind of put all their chips on one, you know, into the pile to get him. But that's it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Roddy Nabolsi again, UGASports.com. Find him on Twitter at Roddy Nabolsi. And, you know, you hear the saying all the time, which, by the way, too, I commend you on your use of the recruiting bingo card right there. I think the only two that you left out were respect my decision and no interviews, please. And, of course, you know, you got to do it all on your Apple iPhone notes is the way that you make your announcement that way. But, you know, I was here, follow the visits. And the way that the officials were set up, it was Georgia a couple of weeks ago. The week after that, it was Alabama. And then this last weekend, he went to Texas. Well, of course, the last one, maybe it makes the strongest impression. Should that have probably been a hint to us, Roddy, that the way that the visits were set up was where he was leaning all along?
No, that's usually you're right. And Kirby Smart has for years fought tooth and nail, backroom deals, if you will, tiki promises, you know, getting kids to swear that he would get the last official visit. And if you go back to some of those, you know, before they had the early signing day, where he would have the last Friday, Saturday before signing day, you'd have all these big names come in. And it's been the same in December. Right before signing day, he has huge recruiting visits because you just want to make that last impression and to basically let everyone else, you know, shoot off their cannons. And then you come in and say, okay, he's heard everybody else's pitch. Here's ours. And it's the last one in their mind. It's the most fresh. But when in this situation, Kirby and those guys want to go first and set the bar high. That's kind of what he's done with some of these other kids that he's recruiting. They say, look, we've got the ridiculous facilities. We've got a national championship trophy. We are going to blow your socks off, and everything else is going to come up as substandard. Well, when Arch Manning left Georgia, the Georgia insiders, the people inside the program, the people that I use to break news, they're like, this kid loved his visit. We did everything possible. I asked, what could you have done better? They're like, nothing. It went great. People, they thought he was coming. Other Georgia commits thought Arch was coming to Georgia. Parents of Georgia commits thought he was coming. Other guys that are being recruited, like, yeah, Georgia's going there. So, Arch is going to Georgia. So I'm going to factor that into my decision-making. It was – normally you're right. You can follow that last decision, but, again, that last visit. But the Mannings, again, they handle this completely differently than a lot of kids do. And I think what I told people when we heard all that great stuff about how everyone was expecting him to go to Georgia, and you saw people start putting in predictions and such, although we never did. We came close, but we said, no, we're not going to put a prediction in. I kept saying the one thing you got to watch out for is his number one thing is who is going to develop him. Who is going to be his quarterback coach? Who is the guy? And right now it's Sarkisian. I mean, look at who he's put in the NFL. And Todd Monken is a great developer of quarterbacks, but he just doesn't have the same – you know, he's had more success with wide receivers. I'm not saying he picked Texas just for that, but I'm like, that – everyone wanted to know why would he go to Texas and not UGA and play for a national title. I'm like, they're not looking at national titles. They're looking at development. What's going to get him better for the NFL? And, you know, if you have a favorite coach, that can sway you.
Yeah, and you actually just led right into my next question there, because that's where I wanted to go. And, you know, that's been the question with Kirby Smart is, how does he keep getting these top-tier quarterbacks to commit after Justin Fields leaves the program? And then, you know, Jacob Eason had left the program early on. I mean, that was early on in his tenure. So I guess the question kind of is here then, Roddy, is this more about what he can get out of going to Texas with Steve Sarkisian over what he thinks that Georgia could have brought him with Kirby as the head coach and Todd Monken as the OC?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people said, well, he has an easier path to playing at Texas. That doesn't matter. The quarterbacks are different. So let's go back. You bring up Justin Fields. Remember, when Justin committed, he was a third five-star on the roster. You had Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, and Justin Fields says, well, I'm as good as either one of those two guys. So even though I will be the third five-star on the roster, I'm going to go there. Right now, you're looking at Georgia has Carson Beck, Brock Vandegrift, you know, a four-star and a five-star, you know, and that didn't stop Gunnar Stockton, you know, out of Tiger, Georgia, going, hey, I'm a five-star. I'm going to go to Georgia. Technically, I may be the youngest guy there in the quarterback room, but I'm going to go win the job. So now with Brock redshirting last year, you have two freshman five-star quarterbacks on the roster. But Arch Manning didn't care about that. Quarterbacks believe if they're the best guy, then they're going to go in and win the job. And that's this mentality they have to have when you go to the NFL. There's going to be a star quarterback on any team that drafts you pretty much, a couple journeymen that you got to beat out who are going to have a lot more experience. And if you're going to go in and be the guy, you're going to have to beat out, you know, one of 32 people in the United States who could say they're a starting NFL quarterback. And so if you want to be the rookie that beats them out, you got to be pretty good and pretty confident. So he wasn't looking at what was on Georgia's roster. He wasn't looking at the depth chart. He wasn't scared about anything in that. His question was, who is going to prepare me the best? And I think that – I'm not saying that wasn't the total decision, but that was something that checked the box for Texas. That's one thing they had over Georgia. Georgia can say, look, we have better facilities. We have better this, we have better that. We have better offensive line to protect you. You've got these receivers versus those receivers, all these different things. But the one thing Texas that was unquestioned was they really like Sark, and that had a big sway in their decision.
Couple more, Roddy Nabulsi again, UGASports.com. Find him on Twitter at Roddy Nabulsi, and that is the 2023 class. I mean, we've already seen some quarterbacks off the board. Eli Holstein saying that he is rock solid to Alabama. I mean, Ian Oliva to Tennessee is another one. Who is left that Georgia will try to zero in on now?
Well, the question is, does Georgia take one in the 2023 class? That's up in the air. They're going to stay on Arch. There's no question. I mean, just because, you know, he picked Texas today, remember, that was, I'm not saying it's a spur-of-the-moment decision, but it's not like people have known for months that's where he was going. Some people have predicted that, but he had a 50-50 chance of getting it right. Well, what if he wakes up tomorrow and is like, you know, maybe I want to rethink this. No, I don't think he will. I think he's going to stick because the Mannings don't strike us as a group that's going to kind of go back and forth. I don't see that, you know, respect my decision. I'm going to have to decommit. My commitment is open again. He's not going to hit any of those bingo cards. But you could see something where what if Texas really struggles? What if Ewers out there just blows up and, you know, I think he's going to be around longer. There are other things that can affect the decision. So you stay on him just in case he changes his mind. Or, you know, after a year, look how many guys have transferred. How many D1 quarterbacks have transferred? It's well over 50%. It's nuts. There's a number of guys that are not, you know, Joe Burrows at LSU when he wins a big. So things like that happen. So you not only recruit for the current year, but you recruit for the transfer portal. Maybe Georgia looks at the transfer portal, take somebody there. We read a story a few weeks ago about a kid named Kaysen Weissman. He's the quarterback out of South Paulding in Douglasville, Georgia. Georgia had reached out to him and said, look, we're all in for Arch Manning, but if he goes somewhere else, we're going to talk. Here's the crazy thing. Kaysen Weissman was a UGA today in a 7-on-7. Hmm. So he was in Athens when the news broke. So I'm sure the Georgia coaches could walk down there and watch him in the 7-on-7 and talk to him a little bit. But that's definitely a possibility. I think, really, though, there are so many fantastic 2024 quarterbacks that Georgia was going to go after really hard, even if they got Arch Manning. You know, you look at Julian Sayens, you know, DJ Lagway, the dual threat guy, Jaden Davis out of North Carolina. People love him. Georgia's been after all these guys. So I could definitely see them saying, look, you know, okay, we missed out on Arch, but we've got a couple five-star quarterbacks already who are freshmen. Let's just pick up a big name in 2024.
Yeah, it's going to be something to keep an eye on. There's no doubt. I know I said a couple more. Well, you really encompassed it all in one good answer right there. Again, Roddy Nabulsi, UGASports.com, and you can find him on Twitter at Roddy Nabulsi. Roddy, always appreciate the time, sir. I know you've been very busy today. I'm sure it's been nonstop since right after lunchtime when the news came down. So really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us tonight.
My pleasure as always. Take care.
All right, so I think you're pretty much covered now at this point. Follow me on Twitter, if you will, if you'd be so kind, please. Pretty please? Sugar on top? All those different things? At Dan Matthews ATL, one T in Matthews, one T. Kind of like Eddie Matthews, if you're a Braves fan. Follow me. There is where you can find me and all of my work and all of my shenanigans and everything. Not really a lot of shenanigans. I'm a late 30-year-old guy that really doesn't have that much of an exciting life anymore. But, you know, hey, it's all about making the most of it, right? I want to thank Bob Ballew for joining us here on the show. Also want to thank Roddy Nabolsi for joining me on the local side on 6A The Fan in Atlanta on Thursday night. But such a good conversation that I wanted to include it here. So we did that. So I think you're all covered now on Arch Manning. But really appreciate everybody out there for listening. Have an awesome weekend. And you know what's even better about this weekend? We're one weekend closer to college football. Can we say it loud enough? We're one weekend closer to college football. I had to back away from the mic there for a second to, you know, get my point across and also not blow out your speakers in your car or your AirPods or however you're taking in the show. But either way you take in the show, definitely appreciate you doing so. Until next time, this is Dan Matthews. You've been listening to the Southern Beat. Talk to you later.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.